Brett Hollander back here on Sportsline on WBAL. The breaking news this evening has to do with the crown jewel of the Orioles offseason thus far, free agent closer Grant Balfour, and a negative coming back in his physical. We're still learning about what that is. Various reports about it. Ed Encina has been covering it for the Baltimore Sun, and Ed joins us now. Ed, how are you?
Pretty good, Brett. How are you doing today?
I'm doing okay. Never a dull moment, huh?
Not really. Not when it comes to the Orioles.
Not when it comes to the Orioles. What do we know at this hour?
Right now, I mean, obviously, we do know, and my colleague Dan Conley and I have been working on trying to find out what's going on here. And then we do know that there was something that came back in the physical today, Grant Balfour, that caused a little bit of concern with the Orioles. It's something that may put this deal in jeopardy. I wouldn't say it's in serious jeopardy, but obviously, the Orioles had planned on announcing Balfour tomorrow morning, and that at this point, that's not going to happen. So, but after looking a little bit deeper, Balfour has had some injury problems, but not recently. I mean, he missed basically 2 years early in his career, 2005, 2006, with Tommy John surgery 1 year, and then at the end of that year, he also had a shoulder surgery to repair a torn labrum and a rotator cuff. So he's had some arm problems, and what we're hearing right now is that the shoulder might be what really has really been the Orioles' concern in that physical. So. Like I said, we're still kind of trying to gather details here, but right now that's kind of what we know. And like you mentioned, it's one of those situations where we always kind of, I know we write it a lot when we're talking about trade and deals is pending the physical, and a lot of times those just go by, and a lot of times and we just kind of think of it as just and it'll pass. But someone earlier this week told me that if the Orioles Orioles doctors are very meticulous and rightfully so when. And you're investing $15 million in a guy. So if there was something that was a concern that they would bring it up. So it's surprising a little bit, but when you think about the protocol that these deals have to make, especially with the money that's being spent, it's really not that surprising, I guess.
Yeah, these things happen. They're incredibly rare, but they do happen. I can think of only two other instances, as I was talking about last segment, really in modern Orioles history, and you think about all the free agents they signed, and people might be cynical about that, but let me tell you, the Orioles have signed a lot of free agents like all clubs, and every player that is signed by any club in Major League Baseball or the NFL or the NBA goes through a physical. As I said last segment, this isn't fake money, it's real money, and people want to make as good a judgment on any investment as they possibly can, and that's why, as you said, Ed, they say always it's pending a physical. It sounds trite because I guess 95 times out of 100, it never means anything. But in this case, something's come up. So what happens now? What's next?
Well, that's a good question, Brett, because I think that, at the end of the day, it's going to be, I don't know how far back this sets the deal, where they go back to the negotiating table or they just, start off from scratch. But now that Balfour came here with the intent of, being introduced and wearing an Orioles hat, tomorrow morning. So. How much this affects, the ultimate end game here, which is obviously Grant Balfour being the Orioles' closer, that's still to be seen. But the one thing that's interesting now is that the Orioles kind of put a lot of eggs in their basket the past week in trying to get Balfour. And I know that there was a sticking point between 2 years and 3 years, and that took a few days. But at this point, when you look at that and the time that took, I mean, John Astor's now off the market. Joaquin Benoit's off the market. So even though there are still closers out there, you're dealing with a shrinking market when it comes to that. So,
and the second tier is just awful. I mean, let's put our cards on the table. The drop-off from Balfour, even Axford and Benoit, is, to me, a huge chasm. And then from that group to Kevin Gregg, Fernando Rodney, and the other guys that are out there, Chris Perez, is just a disaster, in my opinion. To me, I wouldn't spend one dime on that group.
Well, which is obviously one of the reasons why they put a lot of eggs in the basket on Balfour is they thought he was they focused in on him and he was the guy that they wanted and they were determined to make a deal. So I mean you have to keep that in mind moving forward here too is that they were that determined to make a deal with him to this point. So what where does it go from here? This is a guy they want. Obviously they don't want him with a bum shoulder, but at the same time there's really no telling what the next step is right now.
So they could theoretically get him on a reduced rate on a one-year deal with an option or maybe more of an incentive-laden deal. There's a risk for Balfour to go out and hit that free agent market again because now that rumor is out there that he's damaged goods.
Sure. I mean, that obviously would probably hurt his market going back out and starting from scratch. Like I said, I mean, you really don't know the severity of this red flag. You know what I mean? Is it something that, you know, is a major concern, or is it something that isn't? You know, I mean, that's the big thing that we really can't speak to right now is you know, it was a red flag. And like you said, I mean, there's probably a lot of these physicals that you do see these red flags on, you just never hear about. But obviously we're hearing about this one now, and it's obviously, because of the timing. I think some of the timing of it is key, too, here. You know, I think the Orioles wanted to get him in, get a physical, introduce him, you know, before the holidays and kind of put a nice little bow on it in time for Christmas. So, but, you know, maybe this is just a red flag to say, hey, well, maybe we need to slow down here a bit.
Fascinating stuff. Ed Encina from the Baltimore Sun is with us here on BAL. Switching gears just a moment, Ed. I originally wanted to get you on to talk about the Valencia for David Lowe trade. Your thoughts on that now, looking back some 24 hours later?
Yeah, I think that, I actually kind of like the deal. I think that, you know, with Lowe, you're getting a guy who is a better defender than Valencia. I mean, Valencia was never going to really, you know, put on a glove in an Orioles uniform. His role was specifically to, you know, be a right-handed DH. You know, if he was playing the field for an extended amount of time, you know, you had bigger problems. So Lowe's known as a good fielder. And he's obviously been kind of a part-time player with Kansas City, but I think he's shown a little bit of flashes of some promise there. So, I mean, the one thing is, I don't think anyone is going into this thing that this guy's going to be Nate McLeod. But at the same time, you know, when you put together the mix of, Lowe and Nolan Reimold and Henry Rudia and Steve Pierce and I'm forgetting one guy, Francisco Peguero.
Peguero. You know, who could forget Francisco Peguero, Ed? And his illustrious major league career.
I mean, but you have options there, you know. And, you know, you have options there in left field and at DH. I mean, the big thing was to get a left-handed bat. And I know that, you know, I had a lot of people on Twitter who were angry about about trading Valencia. But, you know, he obviously was one of the better hitters down the stretch in August and September. But you're really dealing with a pretty small sample size there. And you got to realize what Dan Duquette really paid for him. It was just, I mean, it was a deal for cash back then, you know, before the 2013 season. So, you know, I mean, Dan's been good at doing this kind of stuff in terms of, you know, reclamation projects, or I wouldn't really call Lowe a reclamation project. He's only 27, but getting kind of these undervalued asset guys. I mean, he did with McLeod, he did with Valencia, and, you know, maybe he's got something, here on David Lowe.
Well, we'll see about that. And I guess, do you think the Orioles are done put the closer situation aside? Do you think they're done adding a bat today? John Morosi tweeted that the Orioles still had interest in Kenji Morales.
Yeah, I think that's a tough fit just because then they'd have to give up a draft pick because he was offered a qualifying offer. So I think that's a tough fit just because, those are so valuable to the Orioles right now in terms of, player development and stuff like that. So I think that's a tough fit, especially for a guy who's really only going to play DH. You know, he's played for first base, but not much. And, you know, Chris Davis can, you know, he can play there 150, 160 games, so, you know, provided he's healthy. But, you know, so you're just kind of trying to fill a hole. I know that, you know, we know what happened a few years ago when they brought in Vlad Guerrero, which just kind of clogged that DH spot. That really wasn't, not really kind of Buck Showalter's philosophy of just clogging that spot with one guy who can only do one thing. So, I mean, his bat would probably obviously be welcome in Baltimore. I just don't think it's a real good fit right now.
Fascinating stuff from Ed Encina. Ed, we really appreciate you coming on.
All right, thanks a lot, Brett. Talk to you later.
That's Ed Encina, Orioles beat writer for the Baltimore Sun. We'll come back. We'll wrap things up on this Thursday here on Sportsline.